welcome to another episode of Trollblood Scrum Tough Check, the episode that'll be slightly deja vu for two of our members because they recorded it, and due to technical difficulties, we have to record it again. Joining us this week, we have John from good old Ontario.
Thanks. How you doing, Fraser?
And Tom from, I don't know if there's a funny BC reference I could make. Nothing's coming off the top of my head.
Apparently they call Vancouver No Fun City, so there's that.
Oh, there you go. That's good to know. Well, sir, both congratulations and sorry. I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with that one.
I love it here very much, so yeah, I have plenty of fun.
Excellent. Without wasting any more time and listening to me ramble on, a bit of stuff has happened in the last couple of weeks. It sounds like some fantastic stuff and then some prospective good stuff, stuff we don't know what it is yet. So let's talk about some of the models that were raised at the keynote speech from a couple of weeks ago. We've got some models coming in November or late fall related to the theme force they're talking about. They've got us some models. So I think the first model that everyone is excited about is the new Gunny 2 or Brigadier General Gunnbjorn. So what do we think? He's looking pretty stern. Like, I think the last model, he looked a little, even though he had a huge missile launcher on his shoulder, he didn't look nearly as stern as he does with his fancy hat.
Yeah, he lost his bazooka for sure. But I think we talked about it, and we think he's going to be more of an infantry base support caster, which is sweet because I feel like we need that. We also talked about maybe he'll get that new range damage spell, the CG rocket caster guy, where it was +2 damage rolls for a whole unit, which is for range. We don't have a range buff.
Is that an upkeep or a one turn?
Yeah, it's an upkeep.
Interesting.
So like that's something like would be pretty sweet to see in Trolls, because it's the only spell for range damage buff in the game.
It'd be strange how it would stack with General Brug. So you could potentially be giving a unit +4 to all range damage rolls, and whether that's a problem or not, I don't know, because like theoretically I'm sure people would say, well, now if you look at how many damage rolls say a unit of scattergunners can put out, but you know, I'm not sure how much I care about that. So I suppose, and as well, with Brug, you have to forfeit your movement, so unless your opponent gives you perfectly good scattergunner targets off the bat, yeah, it's not like... I guess, like, the thing it would work good on, potentially, would be something like the Sluggers in Grim 2, because they can stay still with Mirage and have 14-inch range guns on the feet turn, but, yeah.
I would like to see that spell come, who knows. I think he could drop Guided Fire. I don't want to see that brought over. They usually don't bring the same spells over, right? So...
Yeah, I think he'd be way too similar to his prime edition.
Yeah, you don't want that. I don't know, his feet, who knows? Like, I feel like there's a lot they could bring from him. I'm pretty sure he's coming up for the new theme, right? So I feel like he's going to support a lot of units, and that's where they're aiming for. So other than that, we have no idea. He might have some, calls, or what are they called? Like battle orders or battle commands?
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, that seems kind of fitting. That'd be cool. They've mentioned as well that his gun is... like a Jack hunting gun, so potentially something like, I guess, armor piercing, and then the revolver barrel looks like maybe more than one shot a turn. That'd be cool.
So I think great minds think alike. I was literally going to ask, does the gun look like it's modeled after something else in the game? So that's good to know.
It's not any gun that I recognize, but possibly. It's kind of hard to tell.
It looks like it has like six rounds in it. I wish it had six rounds. It might have rate of fire. Maybe it would be like rate of fire 3.
That would be nice.
Range 12, POW 11, who knows? But like,
I mean, if we're talking, given that it's likely to have armor piercing, then that seems kind of crazy. I mean, the armor piercing might be a special action or something, because I know some things have that, so maybe.
And I'm curious to see how close the model is going to look to the pitcher, because the pitcher is fairly not. He looks very stoic. He doesn't look very like engaged as you do with a lot of the models. So I'm assuming this was just an initial draft, and they're still flushing out the design, hopefully.
I'd assume so. Otherwise, him and the gunnery sergeant are going to look very similar.
Yeah. So, that's pretty sweet. I'm looking forward to him. I like Gunny, so I'm sure I like Gunny too.
I've loved Gunny. I've talked about him this cast. He's the first model I bought. Though, my only comment is that the gun has to be big enough to fit his big, meaty hands, because right now it doesn't look like he could squeeze a trigger on that thing.
That's a very good point, actually. How do you guys feel about him not being in a battle engine?
100% fine. I knew about that like 6 months ago. He wasn't going to be in a battle engine, so I was happy. That was one of the questions I asked on the meta with Faye and Jay. I was like, he's not going to be a battle engine caster. He's like, no. I'm like, thank God. Because we do not need a battle engine caster.
No, agreed.
I would have liked it, but he's cool on foot too. And I think for the sake of my wallet as well, I'm kind of glad I have to buy a $100 model or whatever for him. So.
Oh yeah, let's move on. I like his little partner that comes with him though.
The one that looks almost the same, but he's got binoculars.
It's twin. It's his twin. His brother.
It's the Stern twins.
Trokin Gunnery Sergeant. We talked about this last week. On the episode that won't be coming out. We talked about him, how he's could be a solo that supports infantry or supports, well, gunnery, like maybe the big whatever the fuck they're called. field guns could be support them, but I also
I'm thinking maybe a UA for them because when I think of gunnery, I think of something supporting like either the new guys that we're about to talk to. Like you said, those field guns, something like that. I see it as a UA. I don't see him as a solo.
See, that's exactly where I want him. That's where I want him as an attachment to our range units.
Yep.
It could go to sluggers. It could go to, highwaymen, I guess. It's a range unit. But I want him to attach to a medium-based range unit to support them.
Can you have more than one UA?
You can have three.
You can have three attached to one unit.
Yeah, because UA is a weird old Mark II throwback, because we still use that term, but you have command attachment and weapon attachments now, and if he didn't attach to the unit, he'd probably be a weapon attachment.
So he might be a weapon attachment then.
Yeah, that makes sense. And my concern would be if you're taking the scatter gunners, you want the command attachment, I'll use the right terms, because you want to be able to shoot through all your guys and such with the scatter gunner. So you want to make sure you're not having to pick between the one or the other. So that's good.
I think he's more likely to be a solo. I think they would have mentioned specifically if he was a command attachment, a weapon attachment, because that'd be kind of interesting. So I'm expecting a solo. And especially, like you're saying, if he's going to support the big guns, does the Signal Trencher solo that already does that, he'd probably be kind of modeled on that, I guess.
That's true. Especially if you're running more than one of the units of the big guns, you want it to be in his bubble and he can provide everything. I guess that makes sense, too.
Yeah, because one thing we were saying last week that might be quite interesting, because, again, we're looking at the troll support issue, is he could be, if he was a three-point solo, you could reasonably expect to get maybe two of them as one requisition slot in the new theme, and that'd be intriguing.
I'm looking forward to help support the range game. But for him to help support the range game in the CID that's coming up in late August, early September, is my guess, our range units need help.
Yes.
So, like, yes, cool, you can throw a solo in there, but you also have to throw the range units and help us out. And looking at the Legion CID right now, it's a possibility that we're going to get some help, because Legion has done very well so far in the CID, and I'm very excited to see them back on the board.
Yeah, I'm surprised, and we probably shouldn't spend too long talking about the Legion CID, but maybe we can later. But I'm surprised at how big it is, because as I remember, it's about 4 units and their UAs, 9 beasts or something like that.
It's 24 models or 24 units / solos. It's good.
And yeah, the troll one's going to be split between trolls and pharaohs, so you can expect maybe half of that to be trolls. But yeah, I think that would cover some units that really need help.
But no, I'm excited for this solo. Probably one of the solo, I want him to be a weapon attachment, but I'm pretty sure we'll see him as a solo. And as long as he's not a named solo, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I think that's almost a given. Because I think they'd have shared his name if he had a name.
Yeah, hopefully. You never know.
And to be honest, they want to sell more than just one model of it. So
true, yeah. I think the other thing that we were talking about last time is, because he has binoculars, there's a small chance he might have the rule that Reinhold and the Dwarf Toilet Battle Engine have, which would be kind of interesting in Trolls, because we don't really have a lot of, there's not a lot of ways to go on stealth, so.
That'd be cool. Yeah, it's one of the rules that possibly you could have. And he also looks like he has a pistol on the side.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be a terribly exciting pistol.
No, you're going to use
and a horn. Skills, he also has a horn, so I feel like he has battle calls. I think it's a horn, not a pistol.
Oh, maybe.
Where are you seeing the horn?
On his, you're looking at your computer screen, so on his right-hand side, it could be a horn instead of a pistol.
It looks like the right. It looks like the butt stock of a rifle or a gun.
It could be, but also could be a battle horn. You never know.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. The cornucopia, he's got some food. It's a snack for later on in the battle.
Well, he might not even have a weapon. He could just be blowing the horn nonstop.
Or he could just shoot laser beams through his binoculars. So
perfect.
You never know. Yeah.
Okay, next unit.
I would not put a high percentage on that actually being a rule, just so you know.
Oh, too bad. Next unit is one of my favorite units in the game already, just by looking at them.
Oh my goodness,
and these
yeah.
drawings on these look fantastic. Like, I love the design. They're so dynamic, and it just looks, you can tell the one in the bottom, and we'll put, I think everyone's seen them, but when the episode goes up, I'll post these. But if you look at the image in the bottom left, he obviously looks like the command, and the other two guys are the grunts in the unit, so...
Yeah,
they look fantastic.
Yeah, I was saying last time we recorded that I painted Boomhauer 2 recently. And, you know, when I first saw that model, I was like, oh, cool. Oh, yeah, he's a nice model. And then painting it, it's like, this is just really, really nice. Really nicely detailed, great pose, loads of character model. And I think these are going to be the same thing. They're not overly dramatic or anything like that. They're just going to be real good quality minis by the looks of them, which I'm excited for.
I'm curious to see how big they're going to be, because I'm thinking, like, if you look...
What we know, they are a unit of three.
Yeah, meaning, but the physical models themselves. Like, if
yeah,
you look
the last thing our faction needs is another scale creep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we don't need the small Pyrotro models. Yeah.
No, we don't. But do we need something as big as some of the other models, though, of late that have been coming out, so...
Probably around the Toonie Archon size.
But no, these look interesting, I think. And these almost screen to be taken with Gunborn 1.
So yeah, so what we did last time, we kind of like talked about like what Gunborn can support. And like his feet, he could have a field marshal that's, or a battle, I don't know, a battle marshal, whatever. Something that supports his army, a vet leader thing that gives high explosive at all range attacks. Or AoEs or something like that. Like, just like these things obviously are his old rocket launchers.
Yep.
Damn right looks like them. So he's like, he's downgraded his gun to a rifle to give his team rocket launchers. I hope they're not Rat 4 or Rat 5. I hope they're Rat 6. I feel like by now you'll be trained by the Gunny 2. You'll know what you're doing.
Yep, you would hope.
Maybe Gunny will have a vet leader for range attacks. Like, that's pretty cool. I'll take that.
What I'd love to see, and I don't think it'll happen, but will be a ton of fun to play, is for the Bazooka team to keep the crit devastation rule from Gunborn 1, and then Gunny 2 to have Deadeye, just to make it more likely. And just have, like, we don't know if these be field allowance 2 or 3, but have, like, 2 or 3 of these units just, like, all dead-eyed, throwing stuff around everywhere. Like, that'd be a blast. That'd be a blast. Uh-huh. That'd be so much fun. I want to play that.
Now, do we have any rank-and-file troops that have a rat of 6? Or is everything 5? Like, I'm thinking Scattergunners are 5, right?
So, I think Sluggers got moved to 6 now.
So there is at least some precedent to having a rat 6. It would be completely unheard of.
Yeah, and I think these guys do look more like elite troops. So I think if any new Troll Blood unit's going to get rat 6, it's probably going to be these guys.
Do we have a 3-man unit other than Sons of Breg?
Fire Eaters? They're rat 6 as well, actually.
Okay. Boosted Rat 6 is possible too, so yeah. I feel like these guys will be Rat 6. They'll be like a 12-17, 5 boxes is what we're hoping. That's another thing we were talking about last week. We were talking about boxes for our range units. Like, we brought up what their life boxes should be, and I feel like these guys should have 5 boxes. Like, Elite Firing Squad.
Yeah.
12-17, 5 boxes. And I feel like that'd be a perfect space spot for them to be fit and cost 9 points, 3 points each or something like that. I feel like
that's fair. I mean, that seems reasonable for what you're getting. I mean, at least with the understanding that they've got some rules that are going to help them out.
Yeah, because I think, speaking about having multi-wounds, there's very few 3-man units in the game who don't have multi-wounds. There's like the dwarf, battle mage guys, but even they're not really a frontline unit. I can't think of any other like aggressive unit with 1 wound each for three men in the unit. I think, that's almost guaranteed to see them 5 wounds.
And then we were talking about, like, another one of the units that could use some love with Sluggers, and I feel like just giving them 5 boxes also would help them reposition and position themselves better and, like, be more aggressive with them. So, like, I feel like hopefully in the CID they bring out, like, 5 box wound infantry instead of just the typical 1 wound infantry and they die, because, like, those are really shitty.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good fix to Sluggers, because you can't buff them to Rat 7 because it doesn't make any sense. You can't really improve the power of their gun because they're power 13 with D3 shots.
Yeah.
You can't really improve their speed, again, because Troll's speed 5. So I think multi-wounds would be really good. I quite like them as they are, but that is the problem. They can sometimes all just die.
They die to a stiff breeze. Like an AoE hits them, they just die because they're armor 15.
Well, not to mention all the anti-tough out there as well. I mean, if you're boosting up the number of boxes, that at least helps mitigate some of those.
Like the payment we pay for tough is bad.
Yeah.
And like there's almost every faction has something, and every theme and every list almost has a grievous wound model now in it. And it's just trolls can't even get around it for like, unless we bring like, what gets around it? Velka? Is that it?
Well, we have an entire theme. We have Band of Heroes.
We have Band of Heroes, but like that's a theme we have to bring. Like that can't come outside of theme, right? It's Band of Heroes, but like
both versions of Grimm have takedown on their melee weapons.
Oh god.
Madrak has it on his
Madrak too does,
Yeah, so we have a few guys that bring it. But yeah, we have to bring Band of Heroes, and that's why Band of Heroes is almost in every pairing, because you need to have that takedown ability to get around tough, right? Where people can bring two models or three models that have like a command 10 and have no tough bubble, is just like, what the hell? Or a full unit itself has takedown or grievous. It's just like, I don't know. I feel like 5 boxes, 12, 17. We're at 6. Pal, what we're saying, 12 on your weapons, we're thinking?
Yeah.
Or armor piercing, maybe pal 10 armor piercing?
Yeah, I think like what could potentially be is they could be higher power but then have case cracker, which goes down to power 7 armor piercing. When you think about it, and if you're bringing potentially 6 or 9 of these models, that will go a long way. That's assuming you can't buff them, but then if you can buff them on top of that.
Armor piercing rockets.
Even had them have an option, they choose the ammunition they use, like give you a variety.
Yeah, because that'd be like, I know he's a warcaster, so it's not a great example, but Durga Madhammer has like
gun mages.
Yeah, but I mean, he specifically has like a bazooka type weapon that either does an armor piercing shot or can lay down covering fire. No, it lays down a bunch of AoEs.
Yeah, another thing you brought up, the AoE fire, maybe they can lay down covering fire with the rockets. Like,
yeah, like the sort of, because they're called a barrage team, it'd be cool to have either just have them have covering fire or maybe put down like an AoE that does covering fire, like the old Nis Hunters used to have back in the day. Like,
I think covering your troops as they approach type
thing. Yeah, be cool, thematic, and it'd be absolute. Like, it'd be really good in the single wound infantry meta. So, yeah, I'd like to see something like that.
We'll see, though. I'm looking forward to the CID on these units. I definitely will be purchasing the max FA on them, because
I can't see us getting more than 2, because if you look at a lot of the other stuff, it's going to be, I mean, you can't bring more than 2 Fire Eaters. You can't bring more.
I know, but
that's my guess, is it'll probably
something's
be
like,
2.
It's like Valkyries and Initiates are both, like within the last year and a half, 3-man units, and they're both FA3. So it does happen. I mean, they don't have meaningful range weapons, so kind of a different story, but it's potentially.
Oh, maybe it is a 3-man unit. Yeah, who knows? Would be nice. What do we have next here?
So we're going to go from the things we're just completely just pulling details out of the air to something that we kind of know about, which was announced on another podcast. And so Ragnar, it looks like he's getting some minor tweaks. So we know that it looks like his fury is going from 6 to 7. And then in addition to that, he is getting Field Marshal Weight of Stone.
So 2 things here. Fury 7 is amazing for him. I feel like he was always Fury 6, and like you want to do so much with his spells, and I just feel like he wasn't there. I feel like Field 7 allows him to cast almost anything on this card.
Yeah.
With no issues. And Weight of Stone is amazing right now.
It is. I think part of the problem is you have to hit and damage to apply it, and starting with Mat 6, that's kind of rough. It is still really good, don't get me wrong, but it's...
Yeah, I agree. It is rough for... But, like, is Weight of Stone only melee? Or is it also range?
It's got to be on their melee weapons. I mean, from a rules point of view, there's nothing to stop them putting on range weapons, but I think it would be crazily overpowered, so I expect it'll be, like, Field Marshal melee weapons gain Weight of Stone. I think one thing about him is Pulverizer is just not a good spell, unfortunately. Like, Beatback's kind of cool, but the fact that it's cost 3 is insane, and I think at very least I'd like to see that spell go down to cost 2 so you can hot swap it more effectively. Or, like, I don't see why it couldn't apply to a unit, which seems crazy at first, but then you think, like, You've got spells like, you know, Madrak has Fury. Is it Fury or Battlelust, whichever one it is. Madrak 2. It's not outside the realms of possibility. I think that'd be really nice, or at least changing it out to a cost 2 if it's going to stay single model.
Yeah, I feel like Pulverizer being model slash unit would be where it is. Leave it at 3 as an upkeep. That would make him open up to be like an infantry slash almost like a dual caster. Like you want War Beast for Weight of Stone, but you also want units for like plus 2 strength. And then it would open up his feet to actually cover more things. And I feel like he would be more beneficial to the team, the army. And I feel like I could see playing him in like Banny Heroes. He could be my Banny Heroes caster now, right? Like,
do we know if Pulverizer is actually used by anyone else? Like, is it a unique to Ragnar's spell, or is it the others?
I think it's unique. I don't think I've seen anywhere else.
Okay, then it makes it easier, because I know that anytime you have a spell that's shared across multiple casters, you have to sort of balance it out on other ones that are using it. So, I mean, there is an opportunity to potentially look at it reducing the cost or adding to the spell if it's a unique Ragnar spell.
Yeah. Like, part of me thinks, I think I'd actually maybe rather see it made cheaper, just because, yeah, I think the last thing I want is another Warlock who I'm looking at and going, oh, you want 2 units of champions, and if he had a plus 2 strength buff across a unit spell, you're gonna be like, whoa, cool, hot swap between my 2 champion units. So maybe it would be better to stay as a 1 model spell.
True. And I'm looking at his spell list. I mean, really, because I mean, and I think that's why they had to go up to 7, because Hex Blast is 3, Pulverizer is 3, and then Shockwave is 3. But how often are you using, I mean, Hex Blast? I mean, if it's only a range 10, I mean, do you really want him that close to be...
It's a really good spell to cast with the Runebearer. Like, his spell list is actually just that, I think, except for Pulverize, he can cast any of them with a Runebearer. And while none of them are good as, like, Mortality or whatever, it's a nice set of options for a Runebearer to have.
Okay. Excellent. So I guess we'll have to wait to see more official word. I guess, do we know why they decided to do this? Because I guess they're touching a few of the Battle Box casters. Are we assuming there's going to be more Battle Box casters that are getting minor tweaks as well?
I have no idea. I feel like there's I know 3 of the 4 casters were getting a buff. This adds to the 4th. So I feel like it's Horgo 2, Grissel 1, Madrak 3, and the 4th one I never knew. So the 4th one's Ragnar. So I feel like those are the 4 casters they're going to hit on.
Oh, they have to. At least for, I mean, because we're halfway through our, and we'll get back to our caster review, but yeah, I don't think Grissel 1 didn't do very well. We know Horgul 2 did absolutely atrocious, and we don't think we've covered Madrak 3 yet. So,
or we haven't covered Ragnar. At the time, I'm not even sure. I totally forgot about Ragnar and what he does and stuff. I just know he's one of the 2 casters that has 30 point battle group, which is amazing. But other than that, it's just like there's things that do better.
His feat is really good. He has, like, that is something to be said for him. His feat's really powerful. And, like, a few little bits and tweaks could make him somewhere playable. I have one really weird niche request I want with Ragnar. And that's that I want him to gain a ranged weapon of some kind. Like, say it's like a blast from his hammer or whatever. Throws a stone or whatever. Because when new players are playing the troll box and they have an impaler, and it's like, he's obviously already really overcosted. But when you're like, oh yeah, you can use him to put snipe on your warlock, and that's why he's good. But then Ragnar doesn't have a gun. It's like, he's 11 point snipe tax, which is already way too expensive for what he does. And then you're not even gaining the benefit of snipe in battle box games. So, like, super minor, give Ragnar a gun, just so there's a reason for an impaler to exist in that battle box.
Or do what we talked about before we started recording, is have an alternative list of models you can bring. You don't have to play them. You can do your alternative, a few other possible builds, and do it that way, or try a different caster in the battle box as well. Because I think all of them have banged our heads against the wall in journeyman leagues trying to make this work in the first week or two.
Yeah, I think that's something to maybe touch on later in the episode. We were talking about, and we'll cut this bit out, but we were talking about the odds of there being a Mark IV in the next couple of years last week, and so we'll maybe get onto that at the end in the kind of wild parting shots bit.
Sounds good. So why don't we shift gears? Say goodbye to Ragnar and now go into the things we actually, since you recorded last, which the lost episode, we now know that a few more details around them, the 2 models that were spoke about and talked about in the keynote. So the first one we have is Boom Howler 3, Boom Howler the Destroyer. Yeah, the Destroyer. I should say that more like I knew what I'm talking about, not as a question. Boomhauer the Destroyer. So I think generally we're happy. Do we want to go through the rules as we know them?
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, so the big thing is he's an 8-point solo who can never be free. So yeah, they described him as being an Axe Archon, I think, in the keynote. And yeah, so it's like it's a big chunk of your force. And there's a lot of good things on this card. So outside his personal threat, well, for one, okay, he's a champion, which means that he goes into Band of Heroes and Storm of the North without using a requisition slot. He goes into Band of Heroes and Storm of the North without using your mercenary slot, which is really powerful, and then can go in the other themes using your mercenary slot. So that's really cool. He has 3 fel calls, and they're all really good. One of them gives all friendly faction war beasts in his command range of 9 Bloodthirst. So we've got our own kind of Asphyxius 4 going on, and that's, you know, that's a good model to have a version of. He has Hoof It, which is really interesting. The same one's on Gristle 1, so after the end of your turn, a model, or the model unit you cast it on, can make a full advance. And immune to free strikes, I've just noticed that. That's really cool. Interestingly, there's nothing that says you can't hoof it twice at the moment. I imagine that'll get errated.
You cannot be affected by a fel call more than once.
Unless it's Gristle 1's feet turn.
Gristle 1 can affect fel calls more than once.
Let me check this. We can cut this out if it doesn't work. No, so Gristle's feet is, Gristle can use all 3 of her fel calls as activation. Friendly faction models and units can be affected by more than one fel call this turn. So on Gristle 1's feet turn, a model technically at the moment can hoof it twice. I mean, they're going to get rid of that. You know, hoof it might be, they'll add some kind of text, I imagine, to say don't do it twice. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, we're drifting. So the last fel call that he has is Shout Down, it's kind of like Curse for the entire army. So you choose an enemy model or unit in his command range, no roll to hit or anything. And then warrior models gain +2 to attack rolls against the model unit. So that's really great.
Well, yes and no. That's the worst one on this card. And I say this because once you use it, anything within 9 inches of him cannot get affected by another fel call. Cannot be given Pathfinder, yeah. Cannot be given Warcry, cannot be given Rise, cannot have any other fel call on him. Whatever's within 9, that includes your caster, Warbeast, anything like that. So now you have to play around a 9-inch bubble before you use his command. And that's the worst one on this card. I dislike it because you're not targeting the enemy guy. You're basically saying that model, because it doesn't say target, right? It just says the enemy model. Your models within 9 get +2 to hit against it. So you can't have Warcry end this stack, which is kind of shit.
That's really bad. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah,
I think there's any chance they'll change the wording on fel calls to say you can only be targeted by a fel call? Because the abuse for that doesn't seem a lot, because I think before this Boomhauler, I think the only other fel call that affected everyone in an aura was the fel call of letting everyone stand up, and stacking that with this doesn't seem kind of overpowered or anything.
I don't know. I have brought it up, and I'm not sure if they'll change it, but I feel like this fel call needs to just be called Curse. Just Curse. Curse an enemy model. There's your +2 hit. Right? Like, whatever hits that model gets +2 to hit. Because, like, Warcry is better than this right now. Because you put Warcry on a unit. That unit can maybe go 4 guys on one guy and the other guy going to someone else. And they all still get +2 to hit for the turn. Where it's only +2 to hit against this model. The difference here is it works for range attacks. Is that they're trying to buy us off saying, hey, it works for range attacks. If you hit this one model, all your range attack has +2 to hit. Basically has Hunter's Mark. But you can't be affected by any other fel calls. So you can't get Pathfinder. You can't get Warcry. You can't get Rise. You can't have any other stuff like that. You can't get Hoof It. So it's I don't know. To me, that's his worst one. Hoof It might be the best one. It might be a broken. Have him in Mercs. Hoof in Mercs. Hoof in Minions. Like, this is insane. Like, you got some casters now, was Atticus or whatever, who has Boomy 3 and can give Hoof It out and, like, have someone spray you. Like, yeah, he's wasting his feet and crap like that. But I feel like hoofing Mercs now, like, you can have models just, like, flying up the table. Like, those dwarfs now are pretty quick.
And, I mean, you wouldn't particularly do this, but Magnus 1, you could really move a jack very far one turn.
Yeah, like... Also, I feel like even hoofing trolls as a model slash unit I love the spell, but I feel like it's like, is he just running around the board giving out hoof it for 8 point solo?
Yeah, and that's a pretty good segue, because so obviously whenever we get a model that's very support based in Trolls, we instantly go, do we need more support? And because this guy is like, his damage output is nice. I mean, he's mat 7, which actually isn't great, but they're potentially up to mat 9 with Shoutdown. Power 13, crit amputation, which is, you know, situationally good, I guess, if you hit a gargantuan. And then he has knockdown, thresher, and trash. So a lot of the time he's going to be a power 13 weapon master. But it's like, it's, I mean, and that's fine. For a support, I mean, for a support model, it's great. But it's not, you know, it's not a fantastic damage output. It's probably worse than even like Valka. And then his defensive stats aren't amazing. They're good. He's armor 17 with 12 boxes. Like effectively armor 19, 12 boxes in Trolls. But there is, I think, I don't think you can ever really use his axe for a lot of things without him just dying in return and then you're giving him an 8-point model. So I think, I mean, potentially he's going to be good for giving out fell calls for most of the game, and then when it comes to sort of turn 5 and there's just dregs left, he's going to be amazing. But yeah, it's hard to balance because those fell calls are so powerful, but I'm not sure that makes a powerful model. Again, people are paying a lot of points for Gatsby 4, and not all of that, but a large point of that is because Bloodthirst is really good.
Okay, did we want to shift into the other model that we learned about?
One last thing about Boomhauer is he has counter charge as well. And then so counter charge knockdown is obviously a really powerful synergy. And when we talk about Bumbles, we'll talk about something really fun you can do with this.
Why don't we go into Bumbles? So Bumbles is Trollblood Northkin Battle Bear character solo. See, it sounds like a very long description for something that sounds very cute with Bumbles.
So for this model, he should be 8 points, and Matt and Boomy 3 should be 6 points.
Interesting.
This model does far more for 6 points than Boomy 3 does. But on the downside is you only can take this model in Storm of the North. So maybe that's the catch where they put him for 6 points. He's speed 7, Matt 7, strength 8. He's a 12-19. He has unyielding, so he's a 12-21 by himself, 12-23 under stone. Pretty insane. 10 boxes. 6 points, advanced deploy, immunity cold, pathfinder, and tough. He has ambush, so he can ambush the other two units of bears. That's pretty funny. He has countercharge. Amazing. He has overtake. It's pretty cool. Unyielding, as I said before. He has 3 weapons. So if you look on his card, look on the picture of Right Quest, he has these like Wolverine claws.
Yeah.
Well, those Wolverine claws are now 1-inch, POW 15 Weapon Master claws. So now he's a POW 15 Weapon Master times 2.
Yep.
And then the fun one is his bite. He has pitch on his bite, and it's a POW 14. So you add all this together, countercharge, pitch. He countercharges something. You can like bite him at mat 7 and pit throw him d6 away. Like it's insane. Like a jack comes in and hits something, you're like, yeah, I won't countercharge you, I won't pitch you away, see ya, there goes your activation.
Yeah, and what I love about that is there's a lot of things that are immune to knockdown, stationary. I'm not sure anything is immune to being thrown, but like huge bases, sure. And I'm sure there are a couple of niche rules somewhere in the game, but by and large, all the things that can get around being knocked down or stationary can't get around being thrown, and that's great.
Sturdy?
Maybe.
That's where our listeners will let us know when we're making the rule mistakes. I mean, by the way, when we do, because I think we're keeping up the proud tradition of not always knowing what we're talking about, let us know in the Facebook chat or reach out to us directly, because I know there's been a few people that have reached out and called out a few of our shenanigans when it came to rules, real interpretations.
So I just checked sturdy, and no, that's immune to push. And like I say, I'm sure there will be models in the game somewhere that can't be thrown. So if you notice them, feel free to tag them on our Facebook page. But by and large, it's niche. You can't generally be immune to being thrown. And so what I really want to do with him is play him and play him and Boomy 3 in a Madrak 1 list. Because then you can bring double champions, hide one of these solos behind each unit of champions, and then when a jack or whatever comes to kill your champions, countercharge through them and then either knock them down or pitch them away. And that's just horrible. Like, I don't know what you do about that. It's amazing. And then, of course, you bring a neither of those are going to take up your requisition, so your mercenary option, so you can be bringing a Dunian Archon as well to keep them alive after they do this. And it sounds amazing.
It is amazing. It's a fun list to play.
You wouldn't ambush him? You'd keep him back in the line?
100% you don't ambush him. You keep him under stone. He is a 12-21 under stone with 10 boxes. And and then if you add the cold stone, he fights 8.
So I would have thought you may have paired him up with maybe one of your...
No. Okay. So like how I play, I have 2 units of Battle Bears, and I already have my Magic 1 list, and my buddy already played it down in Australia. He's taken it to the table and played this already, and he said it was fun as hell. Basically, like, you have one unit ambush, one unit doesn't, and he just kind of hangs out with the other unit. And you just don't, you commit the bear unit, you keep the champions back, and keep like Boomy behind the champions and Bubbles off to the side, and like they come in, Magic 3 goes first, Boomy 3 goes first. Hits him. He has 2-inch reach, though, so it's pretty easy to get over champions, right? If someone comes base to base. Hits him, knocks him down. Then you have this guy comes in and just pitch him away. Yeah. It's like, see ya. And then you have the Archon for like any shenanigans they pull off. You're like, yeah, I want D3 the Arc. I want D3 Boomy 3. I want D3 Bubbles. Like, you have like insane. Like, oh, so sick.
Yeah. I think speaking about ambushing him, I think what I'd be looking at doing is bringing him with 2 units of bears, ambush both the bears, and then have Bumble's threat really far forward, as far forward as you can without him being in threat himself. And then your opponent has a real conundrum of like staying out of his range forwards and staying out of the bears' range from both board edges.
So you can't pitch him towards the board edge?
Absolutely. Or just lose something to his Weapon Master Claws. And then if your opponent gives you a good target to charge with Bumble's, then go for it and kill it. And if they don't, then just run him back behind your own lines and have an amazing mid to late game piece and a good counter charge.
Magic 1 and his feet, right? Like, you can play very, very aggressive in feet and you can't really charge his army. And you're just like, okay, you got to walk into my army. Do you really want to walk and then take 2 counter charges? Like, probably not.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, like,
one thing about ambushing him, though, one thing is he'll be a really good ambush piece on the scenarios with a flag out to the side. So, like, spread the net, bunkers. Because if your opponent has just put one solo on their own flag, then this guy can run over, charge the solo, kill it, and then score the flag instead himself. Especially because he has overtake. So if you know the solo is just out of, if you can't get to a place where you're in melee with the solo and in face to face with the flag, you can get to a place where you're within 1 inch of the flag, kill the solo, overtake onto the flag. Like, he's like, I can't see him ever not being worth 6 points in any game, in any list ever. Yeah, I think if they put him up to, if his rules stayed the same, if they put him up to 8 points, that's where he'd start going, I'm still probably going to find the points for him, not auto take every list, but yeah, I think that's where anything less than 8, and he's going to be the first multi you play him. Yes. So I think, what all troll players are going to be doing is kickstarting the box and adding on Bumbles and then having a very happy Christmas.
So maybe switching back to what I know there was a bit of Facebook conversation going on about trends we've seen in trolls. John, I know you and Chris were having a chat with Will Hungerford about trolls getting a lot of support type models in these kind of things, and that seems to be the trend, as we always seem to get granted we've gotten some really good support models, but that seems to be more than a fair share of what we seem to get from time to time. What was your thoughts on that one?
So, like, heads up, me and Chris, we haven't talked to each other in a while. Like, we've both been doing our own things. We haven't talked to each other probably for about 8 months. So, like, we didn't plan this or anything. And Chris's thoughts are, like, the exact same as mine right off the start. He's 8 points solo. He's no Axe Archon, as they promised. Don't get me wrong. He can still do work. If your thing's knocked down, yes, he has pseudo Weapon Master, if the thing's knocked down. There's quite a bit of anti-knockdown kicking around there, but that's fine. It's POW 13. Like I mentioned before in the cast, I dislike his fell call. That doesn't allow you to like handle Roll Cry or stand someone up like the stand-up one, reveal, whatever, from the fell caller. Can't get Pathfinder to another unit if you're going to use +2 to hit. So I feel like that is an overlook and needs to be looked at, because I think that takes him down. His survivability himself, he's what, 12-17? Right? 12-17, 12-19? Right,
yeah.
So I feel like he needs to be 12-17 with Unyielding. makes him 12-19 and then 12-21 under the stone. Because currently Velka is currently 12-17, 12-19 unyielding, 12-21 under the stone, 8 boxes, 2 weapon master attacks. It does more than, it has more rules, has counter charge, has can't be targeted when knocked down, like has retaliatory strike himself built in where he needs the champ solo to get retaliatory strike. So now like you compare the two models, which one's actually really better in the end. 2-inch reach to 2 1-inch reaches. Okay. Because like you can get countercharged, and then they can like you can countercharge them all. Then like okay, cool, I want hit the guy I charged with, but then my second initial will be on Velka, and Velka's like, cool, I want retaliatory strike you now. Like that's really good. That's by himself.
Velka also has Righteous Vengeance, which is really really good.
He also has Righteous Vengeance, so like
I think the big thing,
and he has Pathfinder by himself. Does Boomy 3 have Pathfinder?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so
one
like
of the big things to remember as well, of course, is that Velka is a requisition option. Like, no one is ever paying 6 points for Velka. And
yeah, he's free.
Yeah, and you wouldn't. He's not worth 6 points. He's absolutely worth a requisition slot, but I would not pay 6 points for him.
I don't know, man. He might be worth 6 points. All the rules he has, but we just have better. We need those points for other models. That's the problem, and that's where the whole support comes in. Those 6 points go to support. Those 6 points go to our Felcaller. If you're not paying for him, our Champ Hero, our Stone. That's 6 points, right? And then you add the UA, which is 9.
Yeah, essentially the stone is the big thing, because every faction has support and needs support. But the fact that trolls have 9 points of support before you start building the list is a lot more than you're paying for your Choir of Menoth, your Beast Handlers, your whatever else.
Your Legion model, the Shepherds, are like 1 point, right? Yeah. Like, that's insane. Like, 1 point support model to manage Fury and have an extended leash. Like, it's pretty fucking amazing. But yeah, I don't think he's worth 8. I think he's worth 6, and Bubbles is worth 8. That's where I would go. Then I'll be okay with it. That's cool. He's
if we assume they fixed the Felcall thing, so you could be affected by his Felcalls and another Felcall, would you still feel he was worth 6 points, or would that change?
I feel like if he has Unyielding and the Felcall thing was fixed, I feel like he'd be worth 8.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I'd agree. The Felcall thing really does feel like an oversight. Like, I don't think they'd have noticed that, because the thing where you can't be affected by more than one Felcall comes up incredibly infrequently, unless you're playing a Felcaller caster or the Sons of Bragg, which neither of them are particularly popular right now. It's so easy to forget it even exists. And then, especially when you're going on to most Felcalls being targeted and him having ones that are more aura-based, it's, yeah, I can see why you forget.
Yeah, I feel like it's an oversight, and I feel like they need to fix it. Because, like, when you cast that Felcall, it's everything within 9. Everything. War beasts, caster, units cannot receive another Felcall. So, like, my buddy and I were talking. I feel like 2 Felcallers are better than his points. Because you're paying for free for 1, usually. So you get 1 Felcall for free and the other Felcaller for 5 points. And I feel like they can give up Pathfinder, they can rise, and they can give +2 to hit to a whole unit, not against just one model. I feel like that's just better.
Yeah, and their sprays are situationally really useful, because where you just need to kill one random model. Like, their Rat 6 Power 12, don't get me wrong, it's not great.
They're Power 10s.
Sprays
are Power 12s, their weapons are Weapon Master Power 10s.
Yeah, so it's Power 12. It's not fantastic, but yeah, sometimes it's that one random model that you don't want to remove with an axe because it'll be your model will be in the way you spray them. So yeah, I think you're probably right.
So I would like to see him go 12-17 with Unyielding, keep his 12 boxes, that's cool, and have the Felcall fixed. And then I'll be okay with him. I'll be okay with him at 8 points. But he's no Archon with an axe.
Yeah, and like I don't think that's a legitimate reason to be furious. Like, but yeah, I think one thing we've not really touched on is like that Bloodthirst, like speeding up 2 units of champions by 2 inches each. Because the only bad thing about champions is them being speed 5 or 6 with the stone. So speeding them up to speed 7 or 8 against living.
I mean, champions isn't like all models like War Beasts too.
Oh, you know what? Ignore me, because it's only War Beasts. So
yeah, it's only War Beasts.
Classic Trollbull Scrum rules error.
Yeah, it's this War Beast to get +2 speed. So now you have to bring him with a War Beast list. Mm. Do you fit him and you have to pay for him in Power of Dunia?
Part of me wants to do the maths with a Sea King and
Boomy 2 or Doomy 2.
Doomy 2, yeah.
It's like 22 inches. Okay, hoof it though. Going back to hoof on his car, this is another reason why I think it's also broken. Like, you can have champions run up to 24 inches with Jarl. Because you give them +2 speed, now they're 7. Stone Aura, now they're 8. They run 16. And now you hoof it, you walk another 8. So that's 24 inches now, ignoring free strikes. So you're 24 inches up with champions. Yeah, cool. It's not really worth doing it because, like, most likely everything just focuses on the champions and kills them.
Oh, of course. They won't last the next turn.
But, like, you do it with, like, people are saying, oh, I'm just going to jam my raiders up your face in turn one because they can get into deployment zone with just in Storm of the North with Hoof It. They can get to a deployment zone because they're speed 6, go to 7. They run 14, then they walk 7, which is 21 up the table, and they ambush at 10 to say, or ambush at, well, was 10 is first? Yeah, 10. So 10 plus 21, they're 31 up the board. Right? Is that where 14, 20?
Sounds
yeah.
about right.
Yeah, 31 up the board, and then just like, cool, now you have this 13, 15 unit in front of your face. What are you going to do? Well, most lists can deal with that pretty simple. Most lists that are playing controls have a Void Archon. Void Archon deals with that pretty simple by himself. So now you're throwing away 15 points just for jamming. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's worth it because you get board space. I'm like, but now you're playing down 15 points.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Is it worth it? Maybe if you take a min unit, maybe you could do it with a min unit. But like, even then, you're still playing down the min unit points. Like, you're playing down points. Hoof It can be cool. You throw in battle bears to flank hard. Like the bears ambush from the side and boomies close enough to be like, okay, hoof it to that unit. Now, like, you've killed something, and now but they're engaged with a few other things. You're like, cool. I want to hoof that unit now to either fall back 7 inches or walk around behind them and engage them from behind. So that's pretty cool. I can see battle bears. I feel like hoof it, like, in other factions provide more. And I feel like the map buff provides more in other factions just because of the oversight with Foecaller. Now you have a Void Archon that's mat 8. Like, that's scary. Like, you have a Void Archon that's mat 8 against us. That's something I don't want to see on the board.
Going back to the keynote, so I was watching it sort of, I had you guys live messaging me as it was going on because I was working, but what was your take on the overall message or the overall of the keynote?
So first things first, I noticed there was no faction release, which was great. Which is the first one in how many years? I think we were talking about last year or last week. First one, like, 3 or 3 years, so there's no faction release, which means they're probably getting ready for an edition update in the next 2 years.
That would be good.
So that's something I took out of it. And then I feel like the overall was pretty cool. They've touched a lot of factions that need the help, like touching this Legion. They touched on Grimkin with some an Archon for Grimkin. They hinted at a Battle Engine or Colossal or some type for Grimkin. They also gave the Grimkin Dracoon, which is pretty fucking amazing. And then they hinted at, or they gave CG, the caster from Riot Quest, or a caster altogether with a Riot Quest.
Yeah, the Rocketman caster. Yeah, that
was which is pretty sweet. And I've seen some people play that on War Table already, and like, his feat just brings a whole unit of Rocketmen into play, a min unit. Like, that's pretty cool, and they can activate. I think it was overall good. I think it hit on some good points. Minion players got like a little solo, which will probably go in the new theme coming up. The biggest one was probably the Riot Quest stuff, which hit almost all factions with a model, at least, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but I think most factions got a model.
If not directly a model, then at least a model that will work for them.
There's also a model that like works for double faction, like the Kador Crix one, which is kind of cool.
So cool.
And they also hinted at a new Archon Death Archon, which,
yeah.
That looks pretty cool because it feels like it's going to work with like most factions.
Yeah, which is kind of scary when you're looking at some lists, especially in Minions, being able to bring 4 Archons already. Whether these lists need 2 more Archons in. I mean, without knowing any of the rules, but yeah.
I think it was kind of cool. I didn't think anything was really overpowered.
So my favorite thing about the keynote was that Faye, a couple of days before it, had gone online and people were talking about Battle Bears. and she said, like, wow, if you guys like Battle Bears, you've got a treat coming up in the keynote. And then they were doing the mini crate models, and there's that adorable little pig riding a bear. And I was like, well, that is cool, but they kind of got our hopes up there on Facebook by saying that. And then later on Bumble, you're like, oh my goodness, no. So yeah, that was very fun. That was an emotional bear roller coaster.
We Trolls got a lot of love from the keynote. So like me saying it was a good keynote is like a little biased, but I feel like it still requires CID process and still requires some.
Of course, but there's hope, right? I mean, it's not like it was really ignored. I know I was talking to a couple salty Scorn players who were worried there wasn't much Scorn.
Yeah, but what I think, so yeah, talking briefly about the possibility of a new edition, I think, yeah, a lot of things in this do kind of point towards them releasing a new edition, maybe announcing it next year's keynote or something like that, because for one, the release schedule has really slowed down a heck of a lot. So if you notice, these releases, they're getting about 4 SKUs in each of them, I think. It's a lot smaller than what they used to be, and which is a really good thing as a player, and it's probably a really good thing as a retailer. So I think that's kind of interesting that they're really slowing down new releases, which may point to a new edition. And then the fact, for one, the IKRPG, I'm excited for, but we'll get into that in a minute. But the fact that that's set in this kind of post-Oblivion world, that might be planting the seeds for what the world looks like for the next edition of War Machine, and that'd be cool. Yeah, I think it's... Because I know when they released Mark III, they said, this was so much work, this is so difficult, especially keeping it all on the wraps, that we're never making another edition ever again. It's going to be this edition forever. And that's... Yeah, I can see them wanting to.
But they've had a lot of changes in house, right? So
yeah, true.
And the one thing I sort of noticed, it seemed like keynotes typically are, but it seemed very focused for established players, like people that have been playing the game for a while. Looking, it didn't really seem to be any attempt for bringing anyone new to the game. Where if you have a new faction, it's like, hey, you know, someone plays a new faction coming, I'll jump in here. Because it's usually a smaller outlay. You don't have to worry about it being overwhelmed or what models are in the existing factions. So you didn't get that. So it makes sense that if they are going towards a new faction, that's why this year just we'll make sure everyone who's playing the game is still happy. And then we'll look at bringing more people on when we do a new launch with the like another version.
Yeah, no, that's a good call too.
Yeah, and I think... Rules-wise, I'm not sure how much there needs to be a new edition. There's a few bits to brush up and change. But then given that Oblivion was essentially Mark 3.5 and that only came out a year ago. But yeah, I think...
I feel like...
the hype boost. And I think some new starter products, I feel like the starter products now are kind of... They're showing their age a little bit, maybe not in the quality of the models, but just in the... Like, I don't think... hardly any of the models you get in starter boxes you'll see in a regular game of War Machine anymore. And that sort of thing. And they've been out for so long that I think everyone who's interested in them has bought them. And I think a new edition and some refreshed art products would be really cool.
And to me, that's what a new edition is. You can keep the rule set pretty much the exact same, tweak any of the pieces that have been called out that need a little bit of tweaking. But it's primarily about rebalancing the lists and rebalancing the lists across the five factions and making sure you don't have anything that's too heavy on one side where it's too dominating. That, to me, is what I look for out of the new editions more than the actual rule updates. Because the rule set itself, to be fair, is probably one of the best rule sets out there. I mean, it's very precise. I really like it. Most of the games I've played, I think it's my favorite rule set. So I don't think there's a lot that needs to be done there. It's just rebalancing of the models there over, you get the power creep over 3 or 4 or 5 years, going back and sort of resetting the baseline.
Yeah, and I remember one of the things they said when they brought out Mark III was they were worried that, you know, everything, all the stats had got too high, the threat ranges had got too high. And I feel like that's kind of where we're at in the game now, that sort of 14-inch plus threat ranges are kind of common, and you need to be able to get to mat or at 9 or 10 realistically. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of pruning back on the game that could be done now. Like, not on any one specific faction or model or whatever, just in general. I think, yeah, the power level's got quite high.
Yep. But overall, it was good. It was seemed like they were having fun doing it. It was... I went back and rewatched a little bit of it and very professional, which is always nice. So it's better than the Mark III, here's your stuff, and they walk away after dropping the mic.
One other thing as well we were talking about, at some point we're going to do a Trollblood Scrum special where we play IKRPG and we all have Trollblood casters. Oh, sorry, Trollblood characters. And that's gonna be really fun.
Yes, that would be interesting.
If we have anyone who listens who has some good DM experience and would be willing to do such a stupid thing for us, let us know. We'd be excited. God, it'd be so fun.
See, I'm horrible with RPGs because I never stay in character and I can't take them at all seriously. So I've been, when I play against with DMs or GMs that are very serious, my characters always are the first to die because they just want to get me out of the party.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not thinking it's going to be a serious thing, but I would really like to do it.
No, we can talk to us. I know that some of the original or some of the earlier hosts. I know Danny, who used to do our editing as well as being a part-time host, was a huge advocate of trying to get a game going. I know Dallas was thinking about that as well. So yeah, we should take that away and see if we can do a quick little thing. I know a couple GMs, but they're often busy with their own stuff. But we'll see what we can do and see if there's anyone else.
We're way down the line yet because they've said, you know, they've not even announced the date for the Kickstarter it's coming out on. So that's going to be a few months down the line minimum, and then the Kickstarter, and then it'd be 6 months till it releases. So, you know, maybe like this time next year we'll do All Trolls IKRPG one shot. I mean, a lot of fun.
Yeah. And in the world of podcasting, a year isn't that far. It's only what, like 8 or 10 episodes away, something like that.
And in the world of COVID, sometimes it feels like that'll be next week, and sometimes it feels like that'll be 5 years away, depending on how you're feeling that day. So.
Exactly. So, did we anything else we want to cover off before bringing this one to an end?
We've not really talked about the Vengeance of Dunia theme, but I don't know how much it's worth talking about because I think, even in-house, they probably still don't totally know what's going in that, how it's going to look. So anything we say at this point will be like real wild speculation. But I hope that maybe next couple of weeks we might get a couple of other spoilers teased out maybe. And so maybe leave that for another episode. But I'm excited for it.
Indeed. John, anything from you?
No, nothing much. Kind of just hoping for the next couple of weeks to get a few more, you know, hints here and there. This Legion CID should be closing up in the next week, I think, because it's only 2 weeks long. So we'll see how that plays out. And then hopefully end of August, early September, we get some Troll CID and hopefully.
And that's not far away. That's like, talking just like over a month.
Talking like 30 days, man.
That's crazy. I wouldn't have thought it would be that soon. So.
And they want it all out before the end of the year, right? So like they need all these rules and all this theme ironed out, which is cool because I'm excited. And hopefully it'll help our faction. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see where things go over the next little bit.
And I have to admit, I'm a little excited. I bought a new table for my downstairs painting area, so I actually have a little more room to spread out. So nice. I'm motivated to paint, so I may put some stuff up. I bought it was pretty when I bought it, an L-shaped table. But having the fact that it was about, the width of the table was about an inch less than the door frames, I had to bring the 4 or 5 door frames I had to bring it through, so it's got battered up, but it was a cheap purchase. So I have my nice lovely L-shaped desk. I can put my 3D printer on one end, my airbrush stuff on the other, and then we're all good. So see what we can
speaking do. Of 3D printer, yeah, I want Trollblood Scrum feet tokens, I want Trollblood Scrum flags, I want that logo on everything.
Oh yeah, I just have to get the software to figure out how to import it because everything I've been doing is all the pre-done stuff. Sure, so I have to figure out how we can do that. But we can come up with some designs and make sure that people realize that that's where we're from and where people listen to. So we'll make sure that that's an opportunity for people to support the podcast with if they're interested. You just have to get the design hammered out. Mm-hmm. So
well, I already have that 3D model from when I made that 3D logo, so it should be easy. But we'll keep
everything. Yeah, that's my guess. I just have to figure out what software I have to use that I don't have the license for. So, and for anyone, just I'm going off topic, but if anyone who's ever thought about doing some of the resin-based the resin-based 3D printers, the quality you get this on these things is insane. Hmm. To be fair, I can see companies like PP and even Games Workshop and eventually just selling the figuring a way to make sure that people can't just pirate the files, but finding a software you connect to a printer and you just print your models out rather than buying them. It's crazy. The quality is, so good. It's insane. I didn't realize it was good until a friend of mine showed me some pics of stuff he printed. And I've been printing out War Master, which is the 10 millimeter old Warhammer game. Nice. And I did a Wood Elves Patreon, so the guy's doing new files, and just the quality is just, like I said, it's beyond words.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'll start rambling because it's nothing that to do with Trollblood. So on that note, just want to thank you guys for joining us again. We will do this as a sort of a one-off important news timely episode. So this will come out more than likely tomorrow. I'm going to see if I can edit it up tomorrow night and get it posted, just because it's timely and we don't want this becoming stale. And then we'll go back to the regularly scheduled episodes where we're talking about casters and such.
Yeah. Hopefully get that all done before the CID drops and everything we've recorded is totally pointless.
No, that's okay. No, this is going out tomorrow, so it's one way or the other. It may be a little bit less professionally edited, but it's going out tomorrow one way or the other. So
excellent. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we'll talk again soon.
Have a great night.
Bye.